The Skype of Cthulhu presents Blackwater Creek by Scott Dorward. A Call of Cthulhu 7th edition scenario. Featuring Darren as veteran private eye Jack Coway. John as business magnate Benjamin Wallace, also known as Kanka Mumpe, the White Raven. Mark as Olympic swim team hopeful and Miskatonic University student Harriet Faume. Magnus as the Miskatonic University archaeology wunderkind, Errol Stevens. Rich as brilliant field anthropologist, Dr. Elise Haverson. And Shannon as expedition troubleshooter, Del Wervel. Your keeper of arcane lore is Corey.
Hey there.
Hey.
Hey. Good.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey. All right. I guess I'm going to have to get used to everybody's voice. Hey. Good morning, Mark.
Thanks. Hey, everyone.
So we got everybody. Okay. Actually, Rich, do you go by Richard or Rich for one thing? I guess that's something I should go by.
Both are fine. Rich is cool. I don't care.
So. Okay. Cool. No problem. Okay.
I'm pretty cash.
Okay. And then John and Darren, can I hear your voices? I mean, one at a time so I know who you are, I guess. How about you, John?
I'm here.
Okay. And Darren?
Hello.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, cool. Well, we will start off then. You're at Miskatonic University, all meeting up at the Department of Archaeology with Professor Ernest McTavish. He is the head of the department, and you've gotten a message from him that they need you all to meet with him there and basically be ready to travel, because he's got some tests for you, which he knows that you'll all be interested in. So basically, it's a cold and rainy day in Arkham. People are running around the quad trying to keep warm and not get soaked. Professors are running around with their valises over their heads and that sort of thing. So you do finally make it. You get to the Robert Carter building where the Department of Archaeology is on the third floor. It's basically the language and arts and about everything else. It's highly overcrowded. As you guys are shuffling in and walking up, you're sat on a bunch of, unceremoniously, on a bunch of chairs out in a hallway outside his office. And the receptionist there actually says, oh, yeah, just 1 minute, folks. He's just finishing up. So you guys are wet, and you guys are cold, and you're sitting in a stuffy hallway. So at that point, I would say, how about giving us a description of who your character is while you're sitting out in front in the hallway?
I can go first if needed.
Sure.
So this is Shannon playing Del Wervel. Del Wervel, who I'll probably do a southern accent for when he's talking, is originally from Texas. He's a field archaeologist with Arkham. We all know each other, are acquainted, right?
So yeah, in general.
Acquainted, or,
I mean, we all, you guys, yeah, most of you know each other somewhat. Dr. Haverson and Del are pretty close. You know the students from school. But, you know, it's not like you're buddy-buddy. And then, you know, this Indian gentleman, or this supposed Indian gentleman sitting next to you is just very rich. And oh, welcome back. He is very rich and kind of tubby and just kind of sitting there with an air, I guess. But in general, the only people that really know each other very well are probably Dr. Elise and Del.
Okay,
Go ahead.
Del start taking hands with various people, assuming they have pictures of their characters that I can see. Mm-hmm. Jack Conway's got a picture, so I'll go to Jack. Who doesn't say anything? Because I put my hand up.
Sorry. just trying to adjust some of the settings.
Okay.
Pretty much with Jack, he is... this is Darren playing Jack Conway. He's a private investigator from either Arkham or Boston, that general area. He's pretty old not too old, but he's in his 40s. And he's, you know, scarred, and he has sort of a weathered look to him, but he seems to be pretty average for, you know, as far as body and presence as the photo kind of probes, and that's about it. And I know a few of the people here, not everyone, but I know Ernie and a few of the professors, but not too much personal history with them. So
Bill gives you a crushing handshake then.
Yes.
You said your average Bill.
Yep.
All right. Who would like to go next?
I guess I'll go. This is John. I'm playing, let me not butcher this, Kong Kong Twompy.
Sure. You probably know better than I do, so you go with what you want.
I'm known in my business circles as Benjamin Wallace. I'm a large man of half Native American descent. I seem like just a regular old American if you talk to me, but I've been researching my history of my tribe, the Wampanoag tribe, and I've become obsessed with discovering some of the secrets of my tribe when I decided to get heavily involved with researching my past and researching my lineage. I'm rather rich, and I'm always well-dressed.
All right.
Right. I'm Errol Stevens, a student at Miskatonic, and an archaeology student, to be precise. Smart young man learning to apply himself. Also, if you look at me, I'm sinewy but skinny. Also, you will notice the eagerness in my voice.
But of course. Yes. Expect no less.
Indeed.
All right. How about you, Mark?
I'm Harriet Fulmet, archaeology student, and hopefully a member of the Mr. McBeck swim team in the next couple of tryouts. Yeah, I'm not sure what the app is on these things, 70. I suppose a fairly attractive young lady who seems somewhat worried. There's a pensive look on her face. She is 20 years old.
Okay. All right. And then, Rich, if you want to round it out with Dr. Elise, that would be great.
Yes, I am Professor Haberson. You mooks may refer to me as Professor Haberson. McTavish has sent me along to find Professor Cade. I expect Errol and Harriet, you should be carrying my bags in this expedition and helping me with other needs I have. And the other three of you, just leave me be.
Of course.
Professor Haberson is, you might see the picture I have up there, but she is a stunning woman. She is a professor of field anthropologist, so she might, Errol and Harriet might be in her class, or perhaps we'll take a class. Yeah, she's very focused on her looks and takes great care in her appearance and is in excellent condition.
I like COVID.
And more importantly, she wouldn't be waiting in front of McTavish's office and would probably barge right through to secretary.
Yes, at this point, I think you could do that. So,
Professor Haberson is just going to give us, excuse me, this is not a place for one of my stature.
I'm sorry. And all of a sudden, at that point, you see the...
Talking is not required. I'm going through.
And as you're doing that, the door opens up, and then a couple of students are walking out and saying, thank you very much, Professor McTavish. I really appreciate the help. And they wander out, and he's like, oh, you guys are here. Oh, excellent. Oh, come in. Come into the office. So she's like, oh, he's like, Florence, get us some coffee, please. Get us some coffee. And so she goes off and gets some coffee. You are led into a room. McTavish is the first thing you see. Professor McTavish gives Jack Coway a special smile and, you know, kind of a wink because he's a good friend of his. They've been together for a long time. And he's about a 40-year-old something. He's almost flamboyantly dressed. He's got, like, brown and cream suit of the modern times. And, you know, it's a pretty laid-back office. You're seeing all of his diplomas and his commendations and stuff like this in the community. He's obviously got everything of an archaeologist. A lot of masks and tablets and pottery. They're all pretty minor, but you can see this guy's been around and he knows a lot, particularly of the Native Americas. So there's a tiny desk and a bunch of papers, and you know, there's a little Mexican skull that's inlaid with turquoise sitting as a paperweight. Florence comes in. He does give you pleasantries and, you know, says how fine Dr. Haberson looks and Harriet's getting more beautiful every day, that sort of thing. And he has you sit down. And he's basically saying, well, we all know. I think you suspect Dr. Rhodes, he has been missing. I think we've all come to this conclusion. Dr. Elise knows a little bit about this. And we've been going under... You know, we've been saying that he's out for a convalescent rest, but I think we all know, internals here, that we have not heard from him since he had been on the Cades Rex expedition. I know this is a huge ordeal for our esteemed Concat Wumpe. He has primarily financed this expedition, and, well, I'll be frank, I'm worried about him. I haven't heard from him in... probably about two and a half, three months. And he's a personal friend as well as a esteemed colleague. And I believe I would like, and I know Concat Wumpe would like, for our troop here to go out there and let's try to find Professor Rhodes. And let's try to take back any information we can about this Cade settlement, which, as you know, Dr. Rhodes had said to us that there is no evidence of a Cade settlement, but I've heard other things from our students. And I think he might be in some danger here. Actually, you know what, to put a height on the danger that could be happening, let me show you this note that I got from Professor McTavish. Ed, he does hand around the note, and you guys read.
Letter from Henry Rhodes to Professor McTavish of Miskatonic University. Care of Baxter's General Goods, Blackwater Creek, Dunwich County. June 22nd, 1928. My dear McTavish, I am very sorry to inform you that I have been unavoidably delayed in my plans to return to the university. While, as we have discussed in the past, the dig site has proved fruitless, there is still some minor work to be carried out before I can extricate myself from the area. I do anticipate returning to Arkham by the end of August at the latest. Again, please accept my deepest apologies for the inconvenience that this extension may cause. In case you are considering sending any members of the field team back to the site, I would recommend against this in the strongest possible terms. As you have probably heard before, it saddens me to say that one of the local farmers has taken a strong dislike to our presence here, and he seems to have some rough associates. While the field team consists of Abigail and me, we probably represent sufficiently little intrusion to be objectionable. But I am sorry to say that an increase in numbers may prove provocative. Abigail sends her love, and we both look forward to returning to Arkham and joining you and Mary for a bridge evening as soon as we can. I am so very sorry. Your friend, Henry.
All right, so that was a little special things from our good friends from Jackson Elias. Yeah, no, that was Scott Dorward doing a little guest spot there. Actually, I have put the handout in your shared drive now, so you should have that if you want to refer to it. So,
cool.
Yes, it's a little bit troubling. I think you can understand, especially those that know him. He doesn't really do a whole lot of his own correspondence. It's usually his wife, Abigail. So it's a little bit troubling that he would, you know, not use his services at this time, and now I haven't heard from him.
That's very troubling.
Harriet was mauled by the local farmers.
Excuse me?
Perhaps she was mauled by the local farmers.
I hope for the best. I hope not. I know the kids here, they had a couple of run-ins with some of them. And basically, you know, out of character here, we'll just reiterate that both Errol and Harriet, they both know that there were some problems with some local people there that were, you know, they were getting threatening and that sort of thing before they left. Actually, if either one of you want to make an intelligence roll, I will, you know, we'll you'll recall who this is.
Sure. 72, that's a fail.
Okay. Harry, you want to try for it?
No, 39. It was a failure as well, unfortunately.
Okay, so yeah, you just remember that, you know, there was some kind of, you know, don't want to say redneck, but there were some redneck people out there that were basically threatening you. There might have been some, you know, you saw trucks going by while you're out there, and there might be a little bit of illegal trade of the alcohol going on that might be involved as well.
Suffice to say, they did not like our presence.
No. They threatened you a couple times. You never saw anything. You know, they would just kind of, a couple mooks would come in and make threatening gestures and watch you from afar, but never came to anything, though. So.
But the professor, he dealt with them so manfully. I can't believe there would be any trouble to him. Yeah, I'm sure he's okay. It's just, well, maybe he's got just wrapped up in work.
Yeah, I agree. I agree, Harriet. I have a hard time seeing that Professor Rhodes would not be able to handle himself. But this has me very worried, and I think it obviously deserves some investigation.
So you said that it wasn't like him to send a correspondence like this.
Yes, I mean, I guess one of the big things is you hardly ever hear from Henry unless you're talking to him face to face. He usually does none of his correspondence work. So I'm a little confused why Abigail hasn't taken care of this for him.
Hmm.
Which
all play.
Unfortunately worries me even more. So.
Well, perhaps Henry is moving away from Abigail more ways than one.
Why would you say that? Why?
Yes.
Just a professional observation, Professor.
Oh, well, I have to say, Dr. Avers, please, these are personal friends of mine, and I object to that tone. Please.
Hmm.
That is a horrible implication. I'm sorry.
Excuse me,
folks. I'm sorry I lost my... I do apologize for losing my temper there. So, but anyway, the second order of business is to, obviously, Kunkat Wumpay is here, and he would like to continue the investigation of the Cade's Rest settlement. So,
definitely. Absolutely.
Yes.
The reason I funded this expedition, I am the last surviving member of the Siachukab tribe, and Cade's Rest is known to be the last ground where my tribe, or my long-lost tribe, dwelled, and that's the reason I funded this expedition. It's very troubling that this has happened.
Have they actually found anything at the site, anything at all Native American, or just we've been there?
That's what I don't know. I mean, you folks knows. I'm sorry. No, go. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mark. I missed what you said there.
Oh, sorry. At a game, have we actually found anything?
Yes. When you guys are there.
Okay.
While you guys are there, you had set up a dig site, basically right next to Blackwater Creek, and you were finding some sort of artifacts there. And then all of a sudden, Dr. Rhodes just shut it down and said he had found proof that in Boston that, you know, they had moved back to Boston, and that was the end. And there's really no reason to continue looking. Everybody's very disappointed, and they packed up and went home. But, yeah.
Okay, McTavish, do we have an area map of where the dig site is?
Yes, we do. We have some maps over there. I don't have a map exactly. But I do have a map of the town that I can give you. Okay, oh, so... Yeah, no, Dropbox is fine.
Cornfield? Is that the big dot?
No, those are just some farms out there. I guess. Actually, let's look at this as there is, this is just kind of a map of the territory that, you know, maybe they got it from years ago when people were first settling the area. Yeah, no, you know that, there's the creek that runs, this is all from to the north, the creek runs into the Miskatonic. There is something called Black Creek Wood, which is, running right next to them. And, you know, the road runs into the Dunwich Hills and over towards Dunwich after that.
Okay, so this right here is a farm, right?
Yes, that's what you assume at
so this point. I asked the two students, where was the dig site at? Come over here.
Oh, I'm
not toddling, both of you.
Yes, Professor.
Okay, and actually it would be right about... So, yes, the dig site is over by the bridge, so right there.
Oh, there's a bridge there?
So, if you go on the D20 board, yeah. So, that's basically where you guys were digging.
I'm digging by the bridge.
Right by... They had a settlement right by the creek, that you can tell.
And where was the professor staying at?
They were actually... the kids would also remember this. They were actually camping... They had a site, which was actually back here.
Oh, on the other side of the woods. Interesting.
Right. So that's where they were. So the base of operations, I guess.
Okay.
And also, the kids do remember that there was a storm one of the nights, and one of the local farmers had... helped them out. I guess they act like a bit of a, not a bed and breakfast, but they will allow for people to stay there when they have guests, because it's a tiny, tiny village.
Very well, McTavish. Is there anything else you wish to tell us?
I guess that's about it. I mean, you guys prepare for your journey. Obviously, we'll send out basically an expedition crew with you. I mean, a pack with you. You can take a truck and whatever items you'd like to take along with you. And you can, it's Friday. Head out either. It takes a long time to get there. It's probably going to be a good day's ride. Possibly 8 hours, depending on how well you travel. The roads aren't great there. You have a little time to prepare, if you like.
Professor?
Do you have any questions for me?
Yes. Hello, Professor. Have the police been involved yet, or...?
No. We're trying to... I'll be honest, we don't want any bad press on this. So there's not much to report to out there. I think personally we'd like to keep this within the family, if you know what I mean.
Okay. And you haven't heard anything from Abigail either? She was meant to be with the professor, was she?
Yes, absolutely, yes. You guys know this, the Abigail had gone out with you guys on the expedition. They are pretty much co-writing a paper on Cade's Rest. And so they were the last people there, and you saw them when you guys packed up and left. That's the last you've seen of them.
And has anyone checked in on their house here in the area if they've returned back and or just gotten sick or something?
Actually, I mean, we have a caretaker that goes out there, and he had arranged something, but, you know, that's just, we keep paying for it because he isn't back yet. Yeah, nothing crazy has been found there.
Okay. Just didn't know if anyone had time to check that out yet.
No, that's type of questions we need here. I appreciate the comment.
I take it Harriet would know Professor's car. I think he had a car out there or a truck.
Yeah, they were issued an expedition truck that they want to be on the front edge of finding anything in the area for Native American settlements and anything else of historic significance. So yeah, it's just a standard issue truck that they took out from Miskatonic.
So it's got sort of its registration is MISC 2.
Yes. So I have a question, Corey. Mm-hmm. Out of character, I work in the archaeology department, so I'm compensated that way, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And going to digs and everything like that, that's pretty standard for my job, right?
Yes. You are Mr. Troubleshooter. So they like you to solve problems.
So I'll say to the professor, Professor, I do not know if this is... Explain to me why you picked all of these people.
Well, obviously, Errol and Harriet were the last two with them. Jack is, I think you know, he's a private eye, and he has a nose for trouble, and he'll be able to take care of himself and your backs. Obviously, Elise, she is a incredible anthropologist, award-winning, as you know, and she'll be able to help the, you know, along with the students' help, they'll be able to take care of the.
Just so I'm clear, there are five players in this game, or six players, correct?
Six. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yep. I'm looking at the Skype thing, and some people don't have the characters of their name. So,
Mark's
playing Elise, and John's playing the American Indian. Correct.
Yes, mm-hmm. Exactly. Oh, no, Mark is playing Harriet, actually.
Harriet,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Rich is playing Elise.
Rich is playing Elise, Dr. Haberson.
Okay, so Harriet and Arrow are the two students that people keep referring to, just so I'm clear.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, got it. All right.
No problem.
I say, well, Professor, I suppose this will have to do. We'll see how it goes.
Well, I'm very confident you have what you need.
I'm confident in myself, sir, but I cannot speak for the others.
I understand you have high standards, Del, but I can assure you, I think you're going to be surprised. So that's pretty much it. I have some other people coming. Do you have any more questions, though? I obviously want to set you off on the right foot, but I do have some appointments which are coming up. So,
out of game, sort of history-wise... we were like the last to see them at the campsite. Mm-hmm. Did they have a lot of stuff there, clothing and food wise, or?
They did. They were actually, you know, they had the last truck, so they still had everything. You know, they were going to be there for a week or two, so they had
supplies.
Mm-hmm. They had their own supplies. So,
can I make a retroactive psychology roll to see if they were acting odd?
Yeah, that would be fine.
Come on, 10%. 79, no.
It's okay.
Fucking Abigail, bitch.
Harriet doesn't realize much, I don't think, but...
No.
Is it the end of June, or is it July, or... Out of curiosity, the letter's dated June 22nd.
Yes, it is now September. So it is September 24th.
It's September.
Way late.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it's September of 28.
Yeah, so they basically been missing the guy for a month and a half. And now
longer than that.
Yeah. So right, but I mean for the school year. Obviously, right. And they need to get him back in.
Okay.
Where was the last place he was seen?
In Blackwater Creek. So basically, with the Harriet and Errol before they left.
Is this letter dated after Harriet and Errol left?
Yes, it is. Actually, I think it's... one sec. If you look at it, I think it's in June, which was...
June 22nd.
Weeks. Yeah, I think it was a couple weeks after they had left.
Okay, so their last known location was Baxter's General Goods.
Actually, that's where, and the kids would know this, that is where you have to go. That's the only commercial place in town. That's the only place you can buy anything. And it acts as the local post office as well.
All right, so we know that. I mean, because the letter was delivered from there. So they must have... They might not have dropped it off, but the odds are that's what we know is our last known location. So
yes, sure.
Maybe we should go there and talk to the clerk. Maybe he's seen him.
Yeah, yeah, that's the plan. I do want to get a photo of both of them, if possible. There's a spare one.
Oh, sure, yes, we can
just
do that.
So that way when we're showing it around town, we know what they're looking for. So.
Okay.
What's that noise in the background?
That I don't know.
are we recording this call? I don't think
we are.
It's a weird noise. Yeah. Like,
oh, I'm sorry. Yes, it is
some,
me recording.
Some noise someone's making. I don't know if if someone's mic's rubbing on their cheek, but
I don't know.
That wasn't like, her mic rubbing like on her cheek. That was something else.
But yes, we are recording. So okay. We're on. Yes, actually. Yeah, no problem. So yes, just so you know, students went back to Arkham June 17th, and they received the note. It's dated June 22nd, so a couple days after, a week after they left, basically.
Okay.
So, he basically says...
What's that noise?
I don't know.
I know. Well, I'm trying to look at the avatars to see if any, like, shake, but the closest I saw was Mark and Magnus, but then it went away. So, I don't know.
It's the mystery duck. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. It's like almost like a ducky.
Yeah.
Okay, so he says, well, folks, I thank you for your help here. Like I said, you have the resources of the university. Plan what you will. Do any research that you would like. And I assume you're heading out tomorrow. Otherwise, you'd be getting in during the dark. And I wouldn't advise it if you want to. I guess that would be fine. It might be a little bit harder to find someplace to sleep. You might be camping for the night.
We'll leave in the morning.
Yeah, bright and early.
Good. Excellent.
Unless there's any problems getting, you know, whatever transportation we need, you know, that shouldn't be too hard.
Oh,
to
no, no.
Get Del, out that way.
Del absolutely knows the strings here, so he'll be able to get you set up and on the way.
Okay.
Del just nods to that.
Well, we can take the stuff we were using when we went to the dig in the first place. The tents and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine all that stuff after 3 months or a couple is probably in the wind.
But wouldn't Harriet and Errol bought some stuff back? Or
I mean, and this is they have a lot. You know, I would say tons of expeditions going out, but they definitely have mm-hmm. enough that they have a stock, and you know they're setting up for this sort of thing quite often.
All right, McTyish, we'll send you wood via carrier, once we hear of anything.
Okay. I appreciate it.
I stay in the office as I leave and shut the door to talk to the Tavish privately.
Sure. No problem.
I make sure to lock it.
Okay.
I come up to McTavish, I lean in, kind of whisper and say, you do realize that our professor friend may be in peril or possibly even dead.
I do realize that, and I'm trying to keep my chin up. But yes, I do understand. What is your concern, Del? I mean, tell me the straight stuff. You know, this is what we have you here for.
I'll do what I can, but I would not expect too much here. He's been gone too long. But I will say this: if he is dead, after the proper arrangements are made, It does seem an appropriate time to elevate me to the position of professor, as we've talked about in the past. And I've had an inkling for his chair.
Dell, we can talk about it when you get back, but I hate to say it, I don't think you have the academic credentials for me to give that to you. You're excellent at your job.
Just keep it in the back burner there and think about it.
Dell, you know, I will do whatever I can for you. But I have to say, I don't know if that's going to happen. But we'll see how else we can compensate you, okay? So you take care out there.
Go postal. I just give him a nod and leave. Maybe catch up with the others if anyone's going to the library.
Okay. So, yes. So he sends you off.
Before we
luck.
Go on the outside, I'm going to stop. I see you two, students, Ernie and Harold.
Yes.
Mr. Professor?
I want you to find out everything you know about Black Quarter Creek, specifically the government and everything else in charge, the constables, that sort of thing. I want your research in the morning.
It's not someone else besides myself.
All right, Professor.
And you, Coey, Werfel.
Yeah.
There's two parts to this. The first part is an academic expedition. I want you nowhere near that part. You could do the other ruffian stuff you thugs normally do, but you stay well clear of the academic portion. Is that understood?
Yep.
And you, Wallace, I know you're the endowment of this, but again, this is an academic expedition. You can go hang out in the Baxter store or the church or maybe go talk to the gods out in the cornfields. I don't care.
I paid for this expedition. I'll do what I want.
Says the old American Indian.
She just flips her hair and walks away. Ernie and Harold, I expect those papers in the morning. Chop, chop.
Yes, ma'am.
Very briskly. I'm walking with the professor.
I'm walking with the professor since she's the hottest thing here.
She is.
She's a little back.
Quite attractive. One thing to note, just so you guys understand, with Kankop Wampe, he's actually that's just more for spirit. He's actually kind of a fat, pasty old man. That he wears a bolo tie and he's got his native headdress, like just a just a circlet or whatever. But he's actually just an old flabby guy.
I called him Wallace instead of his Indian name. So
I wear a suit, boots, bolo tie. It's very nice, but I do have my headband.
But more importantly, he's rich.
He's very rich.
I could buy all of you. Yeah. No,
all right, so
I'm very noble. I'm a good person.
Excellent. Okay, so what are you guys doing?
I'm walking very briskly to the library.
Okay.
I'm in a hurry, so I got to get there fast.
All right.
A lot of research to do.
All right. You run through the pouring rain, and you get to the library.
I will go with him to the library and help him do this research.
Okay. It's not a problem.
I've been researching this tribe for a long time. I could help out.
Okay. Sure.
Right.
I too will go to the library.
All right.
I will not go to the library. I'm still walking alongside Elite Professor Lee's and checking her curves out.
But what time
not
is
saying
it?
Much.
It is light. Probably. We'll probably say it was about 12:15. It wasn't. You know, you got there at 11, held you out for about 20 minutes.
Okay.
So yeah, it's pretty early.
Okay. Well, I plan on going to the residence that they were at just to see if there's anything amiss there, and then also I'll just be catching up with Dell later about just kind of setting up, you know, whatever gear we might need or things like that. So
no problem. Okay, well, why don't we go with Jack first? What would you like to do at the Rhodes residence?
Pretty much just look it over, make sure, you know, it's not been broken into or, you know, anything really amiss. But, you know, if it seems like it's they just haven't ever returned and just on vacation, okay, then, you know, I'll just kind of maybe check with, you know, the neighbors if they've heard anything. But that's okay, about it. So.
Okay, why don't you go ahead and do a spot hidden?
Okay. Let's see. Too many windows. Let's see. And I think an 18 would make it.
Yes, definitely.
That's at least by half. So
no problem. You definitely you take a look around. You see that everything has been, you know, the lawn is mowed. All the hedges are trimmed. They're keeping very good care of it. And actually, you know, there's nothing out of order here. You know, okay, you don't see a mess, you don't see broken windows, you don't see, you know, piles of mail on the front lawn. So it looks normal to you.
Or them sneaking back to get the stuff out of their house before they leave. So.
Right, right. So, yeah.
But there's a caretaker, didn't they?
Actually, roll a luck roll.
And 34 made it by half.
Nice. Roughly. Okay. So. Actually, you're actually just walking around the front of the house. You actually look like you're walking up to the house at this point. And a lady walks up the driveway and towards the house and says, oh, can I help you?
Hi. I was just checking in on some friends of mine and just trying to see where they might have gone off to. And
Oh, yeah. You know the roads? The roads are your friend?
I mean, I pretty much know him through Dr. Ernest McTavish. It's just excellent. Kind of just wondering, you know, haven't heard from them in a while, and it's just checking in since I was in the neighborhood. And
you can tell she's looks like she's got some cleaning supplies. She's actually like a caretaker. She's like, I really have not. They have paid me to take care of the house, and my husband does the outdoors. But no, I haven't heard from them in a while. We keep getting
the
checks.
Do they pay you per year or is it per month? Just out of
curiosity. Actually, for this, the Miskatonic has been paying for it for the meantime. I think that's part of whatever they do when they go on expeditions. Don't really know how that works, but. Nothing's been out of order around here, I think. Everything seems safe.
Okay, once we hear from them, I'll make sure to let you know, so that way you'll at least have that information. But that's pretty much all I'm here for, and I'll just nod and walk off. So, I mean, that's pretty much all I can get off there.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, you know what? Do a credit rating at that point.
Okay. Oh, no. Credit rating, I don't think I have. Oh, okay. Actually, points in that. Nope. Failed it about twice as much, so.
Okay. She kind of watches you as you walk down the driveway, and she's kind of staring at you as you walk away. So,
okay.
But she eventually just walks into the house, and that's the last you see of her.
Yep. It's not going to bother me at all. So,
no problem. Okay. I think we're back to the kids. Or sorry, Errol. Errol is going to do some along with. Kankat Wampe, I think they're at the library.
Yeah. The professor asked. I'm going to research local constables and basically the government of Blackwater Creek.
Okay. Go ahead and do your... do a library roll.
So that's 20 under 50, so that's a pass by half.
Okay. You don't find a whole lot about it. You're actually pretty much you got to look through like newspapers and stuff to get any real information. They mention that there's a constable out there from, you know, fights that have broken out and murders and whatever, and that's like, you know, from a long time ago. So there's not a whole lot to find out. You do find out that the, you know, that is the postal office at Baxter Store. There's really no set government. There's just a constable, and that's pretty much it.
Any names or possibly a phone number where I could call to get more accurate information?
Actually, there is no phone out there. You can try... Yeah, I mean,
telegraphing?
There's no telegraph either. This is a really ho-dunk town. So, yeah, you could...
out there.
Yeah, you could try maybe calling like a county seat or something, see if that might help. If you'd like to try that.
Yeah, I will.
Okay. So go ahead and you call the local county seat out there, and they're like, I don't think it's gonna be Dunwich, but this is blah 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 county. How can I help you?
Hello, I'm Errol Stevens. I'm calling from Miskatonic University. I'm researching into some information regarding Blackwater Creek. And more specifically, who's the local constable?
That's kind of a ho-dunk little place. I don't know, let me ask around.
Oh, thank you.
So basically you're on hold for... Not, you know, you hear people talking in the background and that sort of thing. It's like, you know, it's nothing official. We have no record of a constable. I mean, I know there's somebody out there that, you know, settles a peace, but no one's taking a salary from the state or anything like that. So I'm sorry, I don't think I can help you with that.
All right, and you don't have anyone else I could... No, there's no one... So there's really no official constable in the town?
Not on the books. I mean, I think somebody said that... somebody had heard that there's a sheriff out of there of some sort, but nobody really knows what his name is exactly.
Interesting. All right. Well, thank you.
No problem. Okay, well, I'm sorry I couldn't help you, sir. Have a good day.
Good day to you.
All right. So, now, actually, go ahead and do a knowledge roll. Or, actually, I'm sorry.
87.
Excuse me. Do it at
That's a fail.
Sorry. Intelligence roll? Was that...
Yeah, it's a fail. Okay. 87
no
over
problem.
70.
No yeah. problem. So, unfortunately, yeah.
Maybe tell me what they told you on the phone, and maybe I can help.
Yeah, there doesn't seem to be any official constable in town. Supposedly, somebody's been going around calling himself a sheriff, but at least he's not getting paid for it.
Yeah, well, I mean, you would at least remember this. There was some guy that was wandering around town that looked of a person of authority, but you don't really remember who the guy was. You know, you were just doing your work. You weren't really paying attention.
Yeah.
So there's an older guy that kind of wandered around with a kind of like a sheriff's hat or a Rangers looking hat on, but you know, you have no
somebody's
idea who he
doing
was.
Somebody's doing the job, but. Well, they don't seem to have heard of him at the county seat.
Okay. So, unfortunately, but you did find out that there is, you know, there's no real government out there. It's kind of like a, you know, a fringe town, backwater. And no communication, really, other than mail. Okay, so what would anybody else like to do? Is there any other research that you'd like to make?
Harriet would like to charm the librarian and get hold of any newspaper stories about Blackwater. I doubt he's got his own paper, but if it's been mentioned in the next town across.
Okay,
maybe
go ahead.
Stories about it.
Sure.
Do if I can. Go on, 44. 20.
Okay. Yes, you have this the librarian boy that's sitting there. He's like, I can help you, doll. No problem. I'll help you. And he goes over and he looks through a bunch of he's frantically going through stuff. And actually, it takes probably about an hour and a half, 2 hours. And he comes back with like a couple clippings of basically nothing, like, you know, winners of the best pig contest and, you know, largest corn and, you know, just nothing.
Is crowned.
Actually, you know, there is a special interest story about, you know, or just they mention Blackwater Creek and the Black Earth Tribe, but, you know, it's just basically a fluff article that really doesn't say anything about it.
Does any of it mention, George Armstrong, the local man in charge, was judged the biggest pig competition?
What you're seeing is
that they recur.
No, unfortunately, there's no real name that comes up out of these.
And how big was this pig?
It was pretty big. It was about a 250 pounder. It was a big one.
Oh.
So, quite the boar. So.
I'll jot down any names and the last time was the story. When was the last story?
These, like I said, these are pretty old. So, you know, these are like ranging from like 1910 till. Sorry. To like 1917 or something, and, you know, maybe a couple in the last couple of years, but nothing much. I mean, there's nothing about Blackwater Creek, really. It's just a very small little village.
Okay, so I'm assuming it just tails off type thing, but it's not suspiciously so, is it? Like,
no, I mean, like, you're not reading it this is suspicious. It's just, it's a tiny little town, so
yeah,
not a whole lot going on there. Like,
after the big plague, we heard nothing from the town.
And there's no news about when we actually went there with the expedition? That's not mentioned in any news article?
Sure. Yeah, sure. That's mentioned, but there's not all... I mean, you know about as much information as it knows.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
How long had the expedition been going on?
Out of character.
Let's see. It was only like 2 weeks, I think. It wasn't long. Sorry, I gotta find the actual. Oh, here we go. Yeah, it was basically a month when they sent the students home. So May 17th to June 17th.
So there wouldn't be any like articles written by Dr. Rhodes.
No, absolutely not. I mean, that's part of what. You want him to do is, you know, you want the information that was gained by this expedition.
In the library, is there any... that's right, sorry. Well, is there any books about the tribe mentioned?
Why don't you make a library use roll?
Damn you.
Or... You can use your charm again, and
charm.
You can use charm as well. And this boy that you're talking to wants to impress you. You are a goddess to him.
Just fell by four.
Okay,
yeah,
well,
you can push your luck.
Yeah,
this is true. This is true.
You can push, or you can burn credit rating, or. Are we getting other skills?
I could try to help out and roll
in this game, Corey, because that's an optional rule. Like, is it a percentage, or can we burn our luck
as
we want?
Absolutely,
that's an optional rule.
Yeah, pretty much any optional rules. I'm up for. I think they're great, so I'm very happy with them. So yeah, totally. If you want to burn some luck, you can do that. Or
since I'm here, I could roll.
Exactly. Well, you could also have some other folks help you out if you want. So,
so if I burn four luck, that makes it a pass today, then.
Sure.
Yep. Or if, yep. if I push it, I get to roll extra, but if it goes wrong, it's a crit and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, what'd be more
no, fun? No, the burn, if you burn luck, you get it. It's a success. If you push, yeah, right.
If I push it, if it's a failure, it becomes a critical
gotcha,
failure.
Gotcha, yes.
Mm-hmm. That sounds fun. I'll push my luck. I will burn. Oh, dear. 87.
87. Oh. Okay, so you're pushing with the charm? Is that what happened here?
Yeah. I'll sort of stroke him on the face and... Oh, come on, Wilbur. There must be something, darling. Be a sweetie.
He's trying and he's looking and he's sweating profusely as he's looking through the through the card catalogs.
Oh, where the special
and he's I don't know, I can't find anything. I'm very, very sorry. And he basically he's having a breakdown and he runs into the back room. And actually, this mousy looking girl, which is over by the desk, is now glaring at you with a really dirty look, and she sneers at you and then walks into the back.
Boys, what to do with them? And then I take I jot down the names, and that's me done. I think
the Wampanoag have a saying for this.
Excellent.
The man that is an island sinks in the storm.
Excellent. Very nice. So, Vinny,
would you like my help with the library?
Oh, that'd be very kind of you, sir.
Okay, yeah, go ahead. Sure, sounds good. Sounds good.
So, anything to happen, Rhodes?
Oh, my God.
We burned the library down.
Oh, we are... Oh, Jesus.
Speak for yourself. Speak for your group, not us. Not the others.
All right, so that is a fail, I assume. So
That is well, 75. I didn't roll 20, that was a fail.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, you do have Errol with you, if you wanted to have him assist.
I cut my finger on it. I have a paper cut. Could somebody else help me?
Of course. Of course.
You know how to read English?
Oh. Yes. Yes, I do. I do know how to read English. 09. So
yes, there we go.
That's an impale for library use.
Yes, that is great. Okay, so, yes, you are... It takes you a while. You are, you know, once again, you're not finding anything. But you do, from Harriet's mention of the Black Earth Tribe, you do find a reference to it. And you sit down and read the book, and hey, what do you know? It's another special edition here. Here we go, one sec.
Ooh.
Summary of the Confessions of Ezekiel Cade. Cade starts by discussing the threat to the Quakers presented by the Puritans in Boston in 1660, and his decision to lead his family and friends to find somewhere they could live in peace. They headed north, up the coast, and eventually followed the Miskatonic River inland, finally stopping when they reached some fertile land at the base of a range of hills. They set up a small settlement there, away from civilization, and lived peacefully for months before meeting the Siakuk, or Black Earth Tribe. Initially, Cade's followers and the Siakuk coexisted amicably. The Siakuk were shunned by all the local tribes, and the Quakers were the first people they encountered who would trade with them. In exchange, when Cade's son, Daniel, was gored by a stag when hunting, the Siakuk took him to their sacred cave to be healed. Daniel wasn't the same when he returned, though, claiming that he had seen the devil. While his wound was healed, he sickened in other ways, growing mad and violent. When Cade asked the Siakuk what they had done to his son, they took him to the cave and showed him their elders. Cade's narrative becomes incoherent at this point, mentioning demons made of flesh and abominations in the earth. He fears that they have corrupted all they have touched, and not even those who are strong in their faith are safe. In the following section, Cade admits that, maddened, he fled the valley and vanished for several months. His faith and his desire to live by peace failed him, and he resolved to do what needed to be done to contain the corruption. In time, he returned to the settlement, bringing a boat up the river, bearing hired guns and barrels of gunpowder. To the horror of those who had once looked up to him, he led the destruction of the Seercook and used the gunpowder to collapse the cave. He then ordered his mercenaries to turn on his own people, knowing them to be tainted, and burned all the bodies together. In time, Cade returned to Boston. His narrative degenerates again as he starts believing that the taint of the settlement has come to Boston with him, in his flesh. He was forced to shun human company, gaining a reputation as a leper, and resolved to leave Boston and live out his days in seclusion. His narrative ends with a plea for forgiveness from God, from his family, and from those he murdered.
All right.
Quite gruesome stuff.
Yes.
That was Paul Fricker, right?
Yes, this was Paul Fricker of the Good Friends. So thank you guys so much for indulging me on my little thing here. So it's pretty awesome. Also, the music is by a friend of mine, and Walkathon.
Oh, cool.
So we will put that into the show notes when it comes up. But anyway, yes, that's what you find. You find the reference to the Black Earth tribe in that that book, and it's extremely old, and you know, very hard to find. But your extraordinary
the research. The Black Earth tribe and the Seercook is the same thing, or
yes, they are.
Okay, yeah.
I will step away from White Raven.
Yeah, didn't the Indian say he was of the Black Earth tribe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll actually look at him and go, did you know any of this? Is this why the old tribe was destroyed?
This is what I'm searching for, yes.
But why? It sounds terrible. It sounds hideous. Why would you want to...
Because it's my legacy. I need to know. I need to find out what happened.
Have you done any research into your heritage? I mean, if Cade's mercenaries basically
all wiped out.
Yeah, how did your ancestors come to survive this?
I am the last.
Can I make a medicine roll on him?
Sure. What are you trying to do?
Has he got any signs of leprosy?
There you go. Sure.
I fell 85.
Okay. Yeah. You just think he's an old man.
He's got all his fingers and edges.
He's not very attractive for an old man.
Yeah, I'm keeping a distance. Thank you, Harry.
All I know is I am the last of the tribe. And
what have you got?
Surely
you know your parentage.
Why I funded the expedition.
Well, what have you got Professor Rhodes into? Do you think this is why he disappeared? Maybe it wasn't the moon shiners. Maybe he found this cave and he's trapped there. Oh my god. Poor Henry.
It could be, but there's not really much that I know, and this is why I funded the expedition.
Yes.
I think it's a horrid thing. I think we should have refused you. Your tribe was even shunned by your own people.
All right. So what do you, obviously this is a shock to you folks. What do you, how are you moving on with this? Are you just,
well, I'm
20s. We burn.
I'm copying the information into my notebook.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I suppose part of the research.
Okay. All right. Is there other stuff you'd like to do, or should we see what the other folks are doing at this time?
I don't know if there's anything to follow up from this.
The only thing I can think of is there any reference? Do we know what other local tribes are in this area? And if so, do they reference Black Earth tribe? But I don't know if Harriet would be clever enough to think about it.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that again? What's the...
Oh, sorry. I'm not sure if Harriet would think about this, but can we find out what other tribes are in the area and what they left reference to the Blackwater tribe? Or Black Earth tribe, sorry.
Yeah, you could try to look again, but I'll tell you right now, Errol took a lot of time to find this. I mean, it was basically he cross-referenced it somehow to this thing, and so there's no books about the Black Earth tribe that you are seeing right away. He worked very hard to.
If we know there's another tribe in the area, would they have referenced, you know, the Black Earth tribal? This is why we shunned them. They are.
There were other tribes. Yeah. There were other tribes in the area long since gone. You can go to a local reservation or something, you know, which is, you can look that up. But from what people know of, they were decimated so many years ago. Like, what was this, 1680s or something like that?
1660, yeah.
Yeah, so I was wondering if they're like a local tribe would mention why they shunned the Black Earth tribe. But,
right. No, unfortunately, no references that you know of right now.
Okay.
So why don't we move on to the other folks? How about Dell and Dr. Elise? What are you doing at this point?
Oh, I've been walking with her, checking her out.
I know that.
For hours.
Days.
Do you have somewhere to go, Werfel?
No, not exactly. I go as I please. Are you off to your office?
Actually, I'm off to the office of... What? Why should I tell you where I'm going?
Because I'm going there as well. As you can see, we think alike, madam. It was just a sign. Rather than break in, I realize you have the key. So I thought it would make things easier for us.
Stay out of my way, Waffle.
I am walking sideways to you, and you see me, like, checking your curves out.
You also talk sideways, too. How did the university employ you? My God, what were they thinking?
It's quite simple. They need someone who could get things done that other people could not do, that I was able to do.
So what, you were the third choice?
I'm not quite clear as to what choice I am, but I've been here for well over 10 years, so it is pretty obvious they can't find anyone comparable or better.
I've never seen you in this department before.
Well... That is because you were looking too high up and your nose is up in the air, madam.
I'm done talking with you. Leave me alone.
I'm headed off. Your character of the office.
I'm going to Professor Rhodes' office.
Hey.
I assume it's okay. Pretty close to my office.
Yes.
You see, I just kind of wait by the door.
Is the door locked?
It is locked. Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a mouse wheel.
Ah, yeah, Jack, that's mouse wheel.
Yeah, maybe someone's mouse wheel. I think it's Mark or Magnus, probably.
Yeah.
Who do I know as his teacher assistant? Do I know his teacher assistant, graduate student?
Yes. Yes, you do. Megan.
I will go find Megan.
Megan Avery is his graduate student.
Go and get Megan, why don't you? I will wait here by the door.
All right. So you
can
find her.
You can feel me checking you out as you walk away.
She's actually helping out some other professors. Ah, hey. Hello, Dr. Haverson. Can I do something for you?
I need to get into the Professor Rhodes' office. I need to look at his research regarding Henry Cade's expedition.
Oh, I don't know if I could do that. I'm, you know,
it wasn't a request, dear.
It's a trust. It's a trust. Okay. Do you want to what do you want to use? Do you want to threaten her, or would you like to persuade her?
She'll try to persuade, even though she seems more of a bitchy woman, but she doesn't really have any intimidate. So,
okay.
I guess she'll try to persuade. She'll use the hard persuade about how she is also a professor and trying to save him.
Okay.
Looking for her. Well, basically researching his disappearance.
Okay. Sure.
So, let me bring roll 20 up. Your persuade is 57. Oh God, no. So.
Okay. So,
hey, make an idea roll, and you'll realize maybe you need somebody who you were chastising a moment before.
Well, she walks away in a huff. Well, I'll be sure the professor hears of this behavior.
I'm sorry I could make you happy, Professor. And she kind of just slinks away. But she feels better inside about herself.
So when you come back down the hallway, I say, well, do you have the key?
No, obviously not. Is there a way you can get into the door? It seems like your type of work. Skullduggery.
You make that sound like a bad thing, madam.
Can you open the door or not?
Let me see if I can go talk to this Megan first before I damage this fine door. There's the single possibility this may be my office in the future. And you will have to deal with me on a more, shall we say, equal level of academia.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, yes.
And I just start to strut off. And I go, like, kind of slow. And I'll, like, look back once to see if she's checking me out. And then I'll keep going.
Awesome. Okay. Well, you find Mousy Megan Avery. She's there.
Oh. Is she just kind of typing or...
Yeah, she's actually... Yes, she's very deep into other school business at this point. Really not paying attention.
And I'm familiar with Megan because I've been doing this for like 10 years in the archaeology department. Right?
Yep, absolutely. Actually, do you have charm or something? Do a charm or an app roll?
We'll see. If I think intimidation and appearance are my.
Oh no, no! I was just gonna say we'll see if she has a crush on you from your strapping man. Sure.
That's right. Gotta work the angles. make Professor jealous. That missed it by a few, but I will burn a little luck to make it.
All right, sure. There you go. Yeah, she has been kind of coyly eyeing you for a couple of years now. She actually catches you out of the corner of her eye and goes, "Oh, hi. Hi, Mr. Warful."
Oh, I'm sorry. I did not see you there. Madeline.
Oh, I saw you. Hi. What can I do for you? Megan, actually, sir. Megan Avery.
Now that is a charming name.
And she looks a little down, crestfallen there.
I have to remember that name. It's quite charming, Megan.
Thank you, sir.
And what are you in the process of doing here right now?
Oh, just typing up some reports. They got some. Basically, got to get some of these test scores through and the quizzes and. Oh, it's just a hell. It's not fun, but yeah, this is what we got to do to get to where we need to be, right?
Exactly. Professor McCavitt told me to come by to you. I need the key to Professor Rhodes' office. I need to look into some things for the good professor, as he has not been around for some time, as you are well aware.
I don't know if I could do that for you. It's a trust issue.
Of course you can. I've been here for 10 years.
Yeah.
How many years have you been here for? We know each other.
I've been here 3. Yeah, I know. I know. Well, so three
divides into 10 more than 3 times. Therefore, I have seniority.
This is true. So, how would you like to do this to her? Are you going to intimidate her?
I think I'm intimidating her. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Not overtly, but it's like veiled intimidation.
Right. Okay. That's not a problem. So, I will give you a bonus die since she has a crush on you.
Okay, so I will just roll twice then. And I made the first one by half, and the other is regular. So
yeah,
I'll take the half, obviously.
Definitely. Yes. So, yes, she says, okay, Del. Mr. Werfel, sorry. And
You can call me Del, I say. She hands me the key. I say,
she gets an impish smile at that. Oh, thank you, sir. You're going to bring it right back, right?
Of course I'm going to bring it right back. What would I do with this big key? Carry it around? I have enough keys already. I can get it anywhere in campus. And if you want, when I return, which may be a few months, perhaps you can take me out for coffee. Just perhaps.
That would be
and
nice,
I turn
sir.
To move, and then I turn back and say, I almost forgot. What's the name of that... that snotty Professor Habison. Ira, whatever her name is.
That's Elise, Dr. Elise Habison.
Elise. Yes, I can tell you do not like her. I do not like her either, but we do what we must. I also need the key to her office as well.
I don't need that, sir. Thank you. But I appreciate the thought. So, yeah, so she gives you the key.
I said to her that I need the key to...
To her house. Oh, or
no,
hers.
Or her office.
Her office, yes. No, right, sorry. Her office. Absolutely. Unfortunately, she does not have that key. She's the assistant. She has some relation to Dr. Rhodes, but absolutely nothing to do with Dr. Haberson.
I will get it from Haberson or one of the people later. Thank you, my dear. And I'll strike back.
Take care. And she gives you a little finger wave there. Okay. And takes a deep breath and starts typing. So, there you go. You got the key.
So I go back down the hallway not showing the key, just seeing if Haberson's in the hallway or she gave up and went into her office.
I don't know. Haberson, did you stay in the...
She's waiting for you, tapping her foot.
I say,
you took your sweet old time.
Yes, it appears she is quite resistant. A wall of steel, so I will have to break this door down. I suggest you step out of the way.
Just open it up, dolt.
Okay, I move up to the door and I say, however, if one is exceedingly charming or influential or can get things done, things can happen, and I produce the key and show it to her. Ladies first, I hand her the key.
Give me that key. I open up the door.
All right. Watch you find as you open the door.
All right. So you get into his office. It's actually pretty tidy. Like, it's been tidied up since, nothing's been moved in a very long time. There might be a couple reports from earlier in the year on the desk for when he was coming back that somebody left there. But that's what you see for now. What would you guys like to do in there?
So as a professor, I assume, because I just went on away for 3 months, all mail delivered to the university in his name would be put here in his office, correct?
Yes. You go ahead and do a spot hidden.
Okay, I'm actually going to have a Werfel look at it, but I'll look myself just in case. Let's see, spot hidden, 40. Oh, God, no. So... I don't even know what there's mail around here, so...
I'd probably just like to search around. I have spot hidden as well, pretty high.
Okay, sure.
Werfel, go through his mail, see if there's anything delivered since the 22nd of June, specifically by the professor himself.
Excuse me, madam, I am not one of your students. Perhaps.
I know, aren't you the house? You're the god of this place, aren't you? Just do it and stay. Don't touch anything fragile.
Madam, I took you to be an intelligent woman. The fact that you think I'm a gardener has greatly decreased your acumen, but never fear, I will take care of things that you cannot handle. And I'll start looking around. And
I'm going to start looking through the research on the Henry Cade.
I'm not using
his last name, so the Henry Cade expedition. His research notes.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. And I'm sorry. Did you made the roll or?
I didn't make that roll.
No, you did. I'm sorry. I was wondering what Dr. Haberson. How did you were looking and did you make a roll or?
My initial roll I failed when you first told me to roll. Then right. For the mail. Do I need to roll again for the Henry Cade stuff or which is the one roll for
sure.
Both?
Yeah. No. Go ahead and do one more. We'll give you that.
Okay. Missed it by three, but I'm going to burn some luck. I don't have much luck, but I'll burn it to make it.
Okay. You unfortunately burned luck to find out that there is nothing here on the Cade's Rest. It looks like there was a file there. Everything went with him.
So no research at all from... no notes as far as anything that was returned from the dig?
No. All of his research is, you assume, is on his body or has been taken by somebody else.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay.
So, out of character, are we allowed to sort of metagame here and have other people go in and make their spot rolls? Or is it, if there's a vital clue here, or do we not need to do that? Like, the vital stuff we'll just get. Is my question.
Sure. Yeah.
Because I can see people like trying to work this and go, "Oh, we both failed our roles. Let's have the others cut have
exactly.
an excuse for them to go."
Right. Well, actually, that's kind of what I'm saying. Yeah. He's pretty much. You found okay. that there's nothing really in here that. Okay. Oh, wait a minute. Wait. What were you looking for? You rolled a success, right? Oh,
that's correct.
You do find a bundle of letters that are hidden under. A drawer. And it looks like a lady's handwriting.
Oh, there's the mail. Be a good janitor and sift through it, dear.
I look at the letters.
Mm-hmm.
Who are they from? And I know who they're to, but who are they from?
It looks kind of familiar to you.
Out of character, I want to say Abigail. I think of Abigail is what I want to say out of character. But
are they from Harriet?
Let's see here. So yes, I have. You can share that if you'd like, but this is what you have seen. So.
Yeah. So Werfel sees her. The professor looking into letters. And it kind of has a distressed look on her face, and then she puts the letters in her bag. These are not important for the case.
Says you. However, I will allow this to slide since I find you physically appealing. Notice I did
ironic.
Not say anything
I find
else,
you physically
like...
repulsive.
Yes. Well, that the interesting thing is the only women who say that to me turn out to become my wives. Ex-wives, but still my wives.
Okay.
Did you find anything through his mail?
No, madam. I was too busy admiring the scenery when you were searching for the mail.
Seriously, is this going to go on the entire expedition?
I think you'll find me quite charming and quite useful. I do know how to use a variety of weapons, and we are going into a dangerous territory, and something tells me you couldn't use a rifle to save your life.
I'll have you know I'm quite proficient with a 32.
Really? Have you fired it in the last year?
Indeed I have.
Have you ever killed a man?
Why, no. I had no need to. And I'll have you know that I'm also quite proficient with a rifle.
I'm a
field anthropologist.
There's a difference between just shooting and being under pressure.
You know what a field anthropologist is, don't you? That's not one that walks about in a cornfield.
I'll believe
a cornfield, as you might say.
I believe it when I see it. I would keep your Yankee sentiments to yourself, madam. You are losing some of your physical appeal.
At this point, I'm going to cut the banter. But yes, that you are continue to bicker back and forth. And there's some mysterious things that have been found, which have been not revealed. Everybody else, what other things would you like to do? Anybody have any ideas? Or
well, I'm curious if he. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm going to be typing up my findings into a typed report and having that delivered to the professor.
Sounds good, Jack.
I'm going to just check and see if there was. I don't know if they had any kind of correspondence with the main department, but I'm just going to check there to see if, like, he sent some telegram or some information off to, like, either the archaeology or history or, you know, whatever department he might have been working with to just kind of fill in to see if there was something there that got missed.
Yeah, go ahead and do a how would you like to gather the information? You know it well enough. You've done enough work here that you know what office to go to and everything. So and you're talking to who you need to talk to in order to find this information.
It'd probably just be like either one of the secretaries or somebody that just handles like just, you know, the inner office or the departmental mail or might handle, you know, like telegrams or packages that come in. So I'll just go talk to them and.
Okay, sure. Let's do it. So yes, you find the secretary and what are you asking her?
Pretty much that we're just trying to check in on what happened with the expedition over at Blackwater Creek and just seeing if there was anything that got missed or, you know, when they last heard from them. And
okay. Well, you could either do a charm persuade or an app roll.
Yeah. Let's see. I guess it'll be appearance just because everything else is at base. So. for all those. Let's see. Dice. And that got it by, let's see. Nope, not quite half. So it's just normal success.
Okay. Yeah. No. She has a special liking to you since you are, friends with Ernest McTavish, and you've done a lot of work with them. And basically, she says, you know, it's we've heard nothing from him. Literally, that letter that came back. That's all we have.
Yeah.
I remember that from a while ago. What was it? Back in June. But aside from that, he's been dead silent. Oh, should I have said that?
No, we don't know yet. So, I mean, they might have found some trail that went north or west or south into Virginia. We're not quite sure what happened. But
she feels very nervous, and she does the sign of the cross after she says that.
I'm kind of curious, too, on what happened. But, you know, at this point, you know, we're planning on going out to that small little backwater town to see what we can find out. But just wanted to make sure that, you know, we didn't find, like, you know, a lost telegram that got stuck under a chair or something. But
no, Jack, I know you know your methods as a private investigator. And she looks very, you know, she respects you a lot. And she says, I'm sorry I can't help you more. Good luck there.
No, I pretty much since we've been pretty low on, you know, what we heard from them, I figured that we didn't have much else from there, but we'll find out more from the town, but thanks.
Sure. Okay, well, good
and
luck,
then
boy.
From there, I'll just start, you know, getting together with everyone as far as, you know, just gathering up whatever equipment we need or...
Okay.
No, I don't really need too much aside from, you know, whatever simple stuff I have for clothing or whatnot. So.
All right. No problem. You are able to do so. Actually, I think you need to pretty much hook up with Dell. He's the main guy on that.
Okay.
But, yeah, you've worked around here, too. You actually have some pull as well. So
Let's go to, I'm sorry, was it Kankawampe that had something he'd like to do, or was it somebody else?
This is Kankawampe.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you can call me Ben.
Okay.
I just like to, is there like a store or something, or like where do we get our truck from? Or,
yeah, well, there's going to be, basically they have a depot there for the department. They have a couple trucks and, you know, all the equipment that they have to send off on local expeditions. They have a bigger place someplace else, but this is for the local stuff. So, yeah, you just kind of go there and ask. You can buy your own as well.
Oh, so they're going to just give us the equipment to
go
find out what happened to the professor? Oh, okay.
To an extent. I mean, they're not like crazy rich that they'll allow you to have everything you want. But, yeah, I mean, you'll have everything standard. And, you know, you guys can do a checklist to see what you want and how you want to go.
Yeah, and if not, we'll probably find places to either rent the equipment out or or get it used, sir.
Okay. Yep. So you guys want to plan that now, or is there anything else that you want to check out?
Plan out meaning get our equipment together?
Yes.
Talking about?
Mm-hmm.
I'm good with that part, unless somebody has something to do before.
Mm. Oh, I can't think of anything else. So.
Just for Harriet, she's going to check to see if she's got any correspondence from the professor. Which I guess she hasn't, and she's just going to dig up the itinerary that she got when they first went out on the expedition, pack what she's got available, or repack the stuff she had anyway, and add the rest of it in the work she's going to do for the professor, Melisse. So the stuff she found out in the library, and then the itinerary she add onto the back of that. This is what we took when we went on our day trip.
So you have whatever you want there in terms of what you already had, and if you want to make suggestions, I'm sure they'd love to hear it from you. So
I'm guessing we had stuff for 2 weeks anyway, so it's just reorder that again or dig that out of stores again.
Yeah, I mean, you can do that, yes, or you know, if other people wants to put in some suggestions beyond the standard pack.
Dynamite's my suggestion.
Shovels and picks and flashlights. Is there flashlights in these ones? Yeah, I guess. Right.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, there would be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Okay.
Are they standard?
You can try for dynamite. You probably the guy that's in charge of stuff is like, Del, you know, that's not a good idea. You're gonna have to get approval from McTavish directly for that. I can't just give you that. And I'd have to special order it. Yeah, I mean, you could. I can't do it. My hands are tied. But
all right, I'll go talk to him now. I'll go off and see what happens.
Okay, sure.
Was it 5 cents a stick or something? Something crazy like that. A stick of dynamite.
I mean, they did use a little dynamite to blow up tree stumps and stuff like that. But
oh yeah, and you know what? You know from other expeditions, you could totally get this. I mean, it's not like you can't. He doesn't want to give it to you. You're kind of like a wild gun.
Have a reputation.
Yeah. I'm gonna waddle up there with my lit cigar. And do you have it in stock? The dynamite is it here in stock?
No, it's not. We don't keep it on premises, but I can get you some for you. I mean, that's not a problem, but it just doesn't, you know. I'll be honest with you, Mr. Wampy. I don't trust that Dell guy. I think he might hurt somebody with it.
No, I'm going to be managing the dynamite. Don't you worry about that.
Okay, you know what? Do a credit rating.
There we go. Success.
All right. Yeah. He's like, I know you're respectable, sir. I really advise against it, but okay. Well, I'm sure Professor McTavish would really want you to have it if it means that much to you. You have to give me your word. You're gonna keep an eye on it, and people aren't gonna be getting their legs and heads blown off. Okay.
Don't worry about that. Don't worry. You know what we're doing. We have a good team here.
I'll have it for you by tomorrow. So we'll have it loaded on the truck for you. Okay.
So tell me, sir. Do you have any? What else do you have that might be useful for us to investigate this dig site?
You get the standard pack for digs. You got all the archaeological tools and what do you want?
What other special items do you have in stock?
I don't know what you mean by a special item. I mean, we pretty much give you... We don't have... most of the technological stuff is not here. That's more for, like, the Arctic expeditions and stuff like that. But, I don't know what to say to you. If you have something that you'd like me to give you, I can try to figure that out, but you'll be fully stocked otherwise with everything you need to dig and preserve artifacts that you'll find.
All right, I guess we have enough.
Okay, sir. Like I said, we'll get you taken care of for tomorrow. So, okay, so you do have dynamite. You have schmoozled it. Anybody else like to contribute to what you'd want to take along?
Let me packing my personal effects, but that's probably it.
Alrighty then.
How is it for cameras? Is this cameras part of the standard kit to record things with, or will it be a special request?
You can get them. Obviously, they're not. Yeah, no, they'll give you a camera. Obviously, it's a big boxy thing that you got to have the... I don't know, do they even have electric by that time in terms of flashes? Or would it still be powder?
No,
Box brownies. Box brownies and stuff.
What's that?
Yep.
So they still have, like...
Box brownies and...
Oh, so the bulbs? It's just going to be... Sure. So you have a limited supply of that. So, yes, you can grab a camera. They'll issue that to you. And some film and the bulbs.
Yeah, it'll probably be that and some map making or whatnot equipment in that standard stuff. So for surveying, so should be good.
So the standard equipment would be like tents, cans of food, water.
Yeah. Well, we can get some food.
Picks. And... Baxter store.
Yeah. I'm presuming anything reasonable we would have taken along that our characters would know that the players would not, right?
Right,
obviously bringing tents and shovels.
Right,
that's something that we would just bring.
Yeah, if there's something crazy that you want, like I'm gonna pull out Ezetoth and others, then you need to tell me that you're bringing it along. But it should be fine.
Of course, we need that dynamite because of the cave-in. The poor professor may have found a way in, and a rock slide buried him in there. I mean, he's not going to shift those stones. It's just those rocks.
Yes, you have... and as Dell goes, and he does get approval from McTavish, he says, okay, whatever you need to do with your job, and you come back and you find out that Ben has already taken care of it. So,
I'm not sure Harriet would do this, but could we get a hand on some moonshine or something? Canadian club?
Yeah, no, that shouldn't be that hard.
Just if we have to smooth things over with the locals.
Yeah, Jack, do you want to make a suggestion and what to use? You do have a favorite.
I have my favorite. I don't know what they normally drink, but
yeah, I'm just throwing it out that you really like that stuff. So.
Oh yeah. Yeah, but it's more of a Whalen whiskey, but I mean, if you're looking for, like, moonshine out there, we could probably find people that are doing it, because sounds like they might get a reporter there when they get lost from the state fair or something every now and then, but I'm pretty sure
Harriet's
area is pretty barren.
We could give to the locals.
You're not giving them that stuff. Yeah, we can get like moonshine or something.
But they've got moonshine. He's like a bit nicer because we think there might be moonshiners, and that's why they might have bumped into the professor. And they were kind of violent when myself and Errol was there. So if you can give them maybe something, a Canadian club or something to get them talking.
Well,
they
probably wouldn't know the difference. So I think we could probably just get away with some standard.
It's the professor's life. Stuff. Surely no expense could be spared. Oh, well, Jack.
We'll see what happens when we get out there, because you don't even know if there's anyone in the town left after not hearing from them for a while.
Could Harry get a bottle of Canadian Club?
Yeah, I mean, if nothing else, we'll just drive back out to one of the bigger cities and get it. It's not like we're going in the middle of nowhere. It's just western Massachusetts. So.
Would Harriet know anybody who would have a flask from the students? Would there be?
Yeah. No. You could definitely go ahead and roll your charm again or your app, whichever one you'd like to do.
Yeah.
You could pick something up from somebody.
Yeah. Anything for the professor.
Yeah. I mean, if not, I could set you up with the people I go to and.
002 extreme. I get all the alcohol.
There you go. He actually reveals.
See how it's sort of crate.
You find one of your boyfriends, and he actually gives you a bottle of whiskey that he found. I've been saving it, but Dahl, you're the best. You can have it. So. You can come back. We'll do some get some dinner and a movie after you come back, right?
Oh, sure, no problem.
Oh, of course. So he's very taken with you. Okay,
I peck him on the cheek.
Oh, he turns beet red. He's.
I may even lift my leg up a little bit.
So that kind of... boy! he runs away. He's had
showing some ankle.
What is he with boys? I don't know.
So I think unless you guys have everything you need, I think we'll skip to the next morning.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, that's fine.
You guys get into show up the next morning. I assume it's going to be bright and early, so you can get on out there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Or you tell me. Actually,
well, you know what?
Go ahead.
Errol is a dedicated morning person, so he's up bright and early and is you know annoyingly so.
Okay. Yes. Errol is there. Yes. Actually, McTavish actually shows up when you guys are there. You guys get a truck that's gonna fit two of you. And then you can either take a personal car or you can take one of their, like a Model A or something that they got sitting around from the college.
Well, we have to Harriet, so
we're taking multiple cars.
You're not all going to fit in the truck. You might be able to fit three people in it. Someone's going to be, shifting between your knees, but you're going to definitely have to have two cars.
Well, who here has a car? Because I don't have anything listed on mine.
So. I don't have a car.
We'll just take the Model A from this.
I'm pretty sure Dale can secure a vehicle, if not more than one.
I'm extremely rich. I should probably have one. But.
Yeah, yeah. We'll play that. If you want to take your own car, you have one. So,
can Harriet sit in the truck? I don't think she could be too keen on sitting in the same car as the White Raven.
It's only fitting if the students drive the truck.
Yes, Errol. Good idea. We know where we're going.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, actually, McTavish is there, and he's basically like, guys, I thank you for your time. He actually takes a look at Jack, and he looks over and is like, Jack, you look amazing today. I mean, you've been getting more exercise? I haven't seen you look this good in months. You know, keep it up, man.
Seems like, the recent work is done a little bit better for me, but maybe it's just sleep or the weather or something. I don't know. But.
Okay. And the rest of you basically realize that he's pleasantly surprised by this, that this is a sincere wow. This guy is getting his stuff together. So, anyway. So he's like, Exactly.
Bromance or recovering alcoholic? Or both.
Or both. So, yeah. So he actually says, well, folks, please do your best to bring back Henry and Abigail in as safe as they can be. I know it's kind of strange, but I always have my faith in God that this is all going to work out. So, good luck to you, folks.
Okay, thanks.
We won't rest until Henry's back, and oh yes, Abigail.
And Kong Kong Quampy comes walking up with a huge crate in his arms of his products. Puts him in the truck. I think this is probably an untapped market out here. I'm going to bring some samples with me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
get a little trade going.
Yeah, Aaron will of course load the professor's cargo onto the truck as well.
Okay.
Thank you. Does,
so. When we give you our reports about what we found in the library.
Let's see. You, Ernie. Did you write this?
Yes, I did.
Excellent work.
Thank you, Professor.
You have a long career in this field. I think I see a bright future for you. And you, Harold. This is rubbish.
Harriet, miss. Not Harold. I'm sorry about the dolphins. I got carried away. I like dolphins.
Perhaps archaeology, anthropology is not your... The study for you, perhaps home economics.
What is my craft cooking? No, I'm afraid I can't cook either. I'm sorry, miss. I'm trying.
I'll talk with administration and see what we could do about that. Good job, Ernie.
Thank you, Professor.
Swat. Elbow. Him in the ribs.
Ow.
Oh, Errol.
Yeah. You can say Ernie. It's fine. whichever is okay.
I'll elbow Errol in the ribs.
Oh. So you guys, I assume that you guys are heading out now?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, who's driving? We got a... Go ahead.
Well, I'm providing the car, but I usually have my driver drive me around, so if one of you...
Well, we probably have two vehicles, unless we have a very large vehicle, correct, Corey?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. You got a... you have the truck, which you can cram three people in, and Kankat Wampe has donated his fine car for the rest of you.
So he probably has a driver already, if he's got his own car, I would think, right?
If you want. Actually, you know what? Deal with credit rating. If you have a credit rating, you have a driver.
All right, let me see here.
And the choice is, do you want to bring the driver along?
Can hold all the dynamite.
Appreciate that.
There's four of us that need to fit in this car, right?
Well, we have two vehicles, right?
Yep.
So there's two people in the truck.
So you'd be kind of yes, two people in the truck. You'd be kind of crammed in the back if you use the driver.
Yeah. So we had three in the back, two in the front, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't know if the driver's going to get in the way, but...
I don't see any problems.
I usually travel in style, so...
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see your role. Yes, so you... Yeah, okay. So you're a driver. You can go ahead and 63. You can give him a name, and we'll you have a driver.
So Reginald will be driving us this evening.
Of course, sir. Okay, do a another credit roll. We'll see how well you do will depend on how fit and able this man is.
Not fit enough.
By half.
Almost. Okay, not there quite. You go. Yeah, he's a pretty fit young man. I mean, he's not like... he was in the Great War, not really a warrior exactly, but he knows how to handle himself a little bit. So, yeah, there you go, Reginald.
Reginald was a driver
okay.
for the Legionnaires in the war.
Driver Reginald is the guy driving. And
I'm driving the second vehicle, Corey, because I'm pretty good at driving. I mechanically have a 47, so I think that's...
Oh. Okay.
For the default's like 20, I think, right?
Yeah. It's not bad.
Yeah, so that is up to it's not up to the students. Actually, it's more up to Dell. I mean, he's the higher on the chain. They expressed they would like to drive on their own. But
well, we have two vehicles again, right? So
yeah, and we could trade off during the day. It's not like we're going to have, you know, one person drive the whole way, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Well, if you want to drive, that's perfectly fine with me.
Dell would probably want to drive.
Okay.
But,
so,
you know, obviously if he's getting tired, someone else can drive.
Of course.
Okay, so who's going in the truck and who's going in the car?
I imagine I'm driving the... Which car belongs to the Indian fellow? Is it the car or the truck?
The car.
Car.
The truck is Miskatonic issued. So you're doing the truck. Yeah, you're driving the truck then. So okay. Dell's in the truck. It looks like Reginald's driving the car. And who else is where?
I'll go in the car since there's not too much more room in the truck.
Okay.
Where's Harriet going?
Is the truck a sort of flatbed? Because Harriet probably just, she can get in the back of the truck.
Well, it's pretty...
Just lie down and snooze.
Well, you're going to be with the dynamite, if you really want to do that. You could actually, like, it's not going to be comfortable. It's actually pretty full of crap. So, you can, but, you know. It's totally up to you. And if there is a problem, then, you know, it might not be the safest place.
It's the creepy Native American or the creepy lecherous troubleshooter.
I'm not going to be... I'm going to be sitting wherever I'm not inconveniencing anyone academically my superior.
Totally your choice. There's right now we got Dell in one, he's driving, we got the driver in one, we got Koei in the back, I guess, or you're in the front, I don't know.
Yeah, either one, wherever I fit.
I'll sit next to Dell, I guess.
I assume because the White Raven is so large, he's in the front seat of the other front seat of the car, the shotgun.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Or was he used to being driven... In the back seat? I don't know. I guess I would leave that to his preference.
Well, okay, so basically,
uncomfortable crammed in the back.
Dell and the professor is in the truck.
With Harriet in the back of the truck. She can go in the bed.
So I will be in the car then. I mean, I wouldn't want to inconvenience the professor.
And Concott. Okay. And are you also going to be in the car, Harriet? Is that's where you're going?
If I can get in the back of the truck, I'll go there.
You want to do that? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, do a luck roll. Let's see how comfortable you are back there. If you can...
See if I blow myself up. Oh, no, 78, very comfortable.
What's that?
7-tier FAO, so it's very complicated.
Okay. Yeah, it's hard to even get back there. I don't think it's going to work for you. So I think you need to be sitting someplace.
I'll go in the car then. Where were this? Oh, no, there's another seat in the truck in there. There's two in the truck at the moment.
I'm sorry, Errol. There's no room for you in the front.
Does she wear glasses, this lady?
You either go in back of the truck with the rest of the rubbish or go in the car.
It's Harriet, miss. I wear a dress. I'm not wearing trousers. And then I'll go into the car.
So we'll give Ben here. What, do you sit in the front or do you sit in the back? Since this is your car. Anyway, tell you what. We're going to make a decision there. We're going to put him in the back. So everybody, go ahead and Del, make your driving roll. Are you going to try to get in front of him, or in? Are you going to try to lead it, or are you going to follow Reginald?
I'm going to lead.
Okay, go ahead and roll.
I'll put some minor effort into making sure they keep up, but I don't really care because I've got the interesting people in my vehicle as far as I'm concerned. So. Maybe 21 out of 47.
Sure. You have no problems. Let's see. Ugh. Okay. So you are going through. There's a very long ride here through back roads and everything else. You're leading us through Dunwich. Oops. Who do we lose? Ah, we lost Rich, it looks like. Okay. Anyway. Yeah. So you're basically heading out towards Dunwich. There is a pretty long ride. You actually are making it okay. You see that Reginald actually hits one of the ruts in the road probably about a third of the way out and blows a tire and slows you down.
I'd probably come back for him if I saw it.
Okay. Yeah, it's basically he just slowing you down. It's not like it's a trip killer or something. So you get out to Dunwich. You're starting to see as you get farther and farther out, it's getting very much more rustic. You're seeing a bunch of, like, you know, the tin huts and that sort of thing along the way. Driving past, you're seeing dirtier people kind of walking up the roads and giving you dirty looks. You know, what are these rich city folk doing out here? So it's kind of a bummer. They're not giving you they're kind of irritated with your presence. So, you got slowed down a bit, so it's getting kind of late at night. It's probably about 7:30. You're starting to see the sun is going down. It's much earlier. It's dusk, so it's about 7 o'clock. So you start coming over through, you see the Dunwich Hills that you know of. There's a pass, and you go through the pass. As you start coming down, everybody make a POW roll.
Oh, okay.
You're in the view of the Miskatonic River, and you see the last hints of sun glinting off the surface. And let me know how you...
I failed my POW roll.
Fail.
Oh, I really failed it.
Okay. So who got successes? Not
critically failed, but...
How about successes? How did you do? It looks like Del might have gotten close.
Nope. Del failed.
Still failed? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so basically
I made
nobody...
it. I'm sorry, I made it. Sorry about that. I mistaken for magic points.
Oh, that's
I made
okay.
my pop.
No problem. Okay, no problem. So did you make a hard?
A regular success.
Regular success. Okay, not a problem. So you start coming down and you're seeing it. All of a sudden, Concat Wumpe, you're standing there, and all of a sudden you hear a boom, and you look around. There's like this big bump or a shatter. You look around, and nobody else has reacted to it.
I did pass, so.
Oh, you did? Oh, how well did you pass?
Extreme.
Ooh. Ah, okay. Mm-hmm. So, you're in the same car. Okay, yes. So, Concat Wumpe and Harriet. Harriet, you both feel a shudder when, you know, it seems like in your mind it's audible to you And you both look around. So both Kankat Wampei and Harriet are, you know, you start looking around and you notice each other that you did something weird. Everybody else is just kind of looking off into the distance.
Did you feel that too, sir?
Feel what?
There's a shadow. Did we hit something? Portolos like?
All of a sudden, boom!
I kind of shuddered.
I don't think so.
You just heard it again. And you guys look around, both of you. The Kankat Wampei and Harriet.
Must have a flat tire. Can't you hear it? It's like thudding.
What? No, it's not. No. It's just regular road noise.
I mean, there might have been like a rock that hit the side of the car, but nothing that really hurt the car at all.
You heard it, sir, didn't you? That I'm not going crazy. There was definitely a bang, wasn't there? Have you lost White Raven?
John, are you...
Sorry, I was muted.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I was muted, sorry. Is it like we felt the car hit something, or something hit the car?
No, it sounded like you heard something.
It's a thump.
Boom. And actually, you just felt it again. It's boom.
Did you felt it, not heard it?
Yes.
Felt or
heard?
Okay.
I'm sorry. So the
is
only
it
people
felt or heard. Sorry.
Stop the car, Reginald. Stop the car.
So he does. He immediately pulls over. I don't know if Dell. Go ahead and do.
I would stop if I saw the other vehicle stop.
Yeah, go ahead and do a spot hidden, or whatever. Oh. Whatever. Yeah.
Do you want me to go out and have a look, sir?
Maybe.
Yeah. No Everybody. Problem. You see it, and you see that they're pulling over. And actually, you know what? Reginald actually does do a quick beep on the horn, just so you'll notice as well.
Yeah. Okay.
So,
who else felt that?
So
did I feel it since I made my POW? I was in your truck.
Did you made your? How well did you make your POW?
Just a regular success.
Yeah. You don't feel anything.
Hey Corey, okay. Okay. So I only felt it if I failed. All right.
Cool. No.
I failed my POW check.
Right. That's okay.
Okay.
That's all right. So, yes. So you and Harriet, both you and Harriet make a intelligence roll.
Oh, dear.
And how long have we been driving from
yes!
when we left?
It's okay. Yeah, no, it's probably been about, let's say about 9 hours, probably. Oh, jeez.
Okay.
White Raven looks to be a little bit confused about what's going on.
99 out of 70.
Yeah, you're like, you're feeling a little weird about this whole thing. How did you do, Harriet?
Just a regular success.
Okay, you're feeling that it's coming at an interval, but you don't, you know what? Boom! It just happened again.
Sir, do you want me to go out and have a look to see if there's anything happening to the car? Or?
And it's something with she's feeling.
Yes, go ahead
not
and go
hearing.
Out.
Okay,
let's
get
out of the car.
I'm stepping actually, out of the car to take a look around.
It feels like you're sorry. Hearing it. Is that's your best description of what's going on?
Ah, okay, sorry. I'm sure. Yeah.
Okay. Are you stopping to take a short break?
Honk the horn, Wolfo. What are those dolts doing in front of us?
Exactly. I'm not
Do
sure.
Do you think it could be drums, sir? Is it Mr. White Raven? It seems to be kind of has a beat.
It's at an interval. Is that what it just sounds like?
Yeah.
Just one.
Yeah. Actually, you can go ahead and do the intelligence roll again.
Harriet will explain. Look that there again.
So I'm gonna be. Step out of the car and take a look around it, and then I'm gonna walk up to. I mean, or do I see anything when I walk around the car?
No. You actually do a spot hidden. Sure.
That is a pass.
Okay. There is nothing wrong with the car. You see no weird things. Well, look, just looking around the area, you're not seeing anything. Did you guys describe this to everybody, or?
Yeah, Harry said like it's a booming.
Okay, so noise. You did. Yeah, you're like, what is she talking about? This is yeah. What? Yeah,
there's you're nothing not here.
Anything? I mean, yeah.
I'm gonna walk up to the truck to have a talk to Dell.
What do we got?
Well, I don't know what it is. Harriet and White Raven seems to think there's some sort of a thumping thing going on. I don't know. I can't see anything wrong with the car. It doesn't. I didn't feel it at all. Neither did the driver.
I'm out of the car. I'm going to walk away from the car a little ways and see if I still hear it around me.
Could I give White Raven a bonus die if I go, look, there it is, and there.
Sure, that's a good use of a bonus die, sure.
Can I give a penalty die by honking the horn and saying, hey, what's going on over here? Take two.
Well, I did another in-check and I impaled it.
Okay, yes, you get your mind centered, and you're like, okay, and you start looking at your watch. It's like every 40 seconds, you're hearing this poof. Every 40 seconds, like clockwork.
And I still hear it right around me, even though I walked away from the car?
Yep. You don't know what's going on, but you feel like as soon as you started coming into this valley, this started.
Hmm. This is troubling that... Harriet, you still hear it?
Yes. Is it from the mine? Are they quarrying or something? Or does the earth tremor, or was it just this boom?
No, it's you don't feel anything. You just it sounds like an audible boom in your head, and you don't know why anybody else hears it.
I will sort of turn to others and go, "You must hear it. Look."
No.
When the next one goes, I go, "Look, you must have heard that. It just happened."
No. Nothing. There's nothing going on. I mean, surely we would be hearing it if it's. This is worrisome.
Well, it can't be. It can't be our sanity if we're both hearing it.
True.
Maybe.
Perhaps you should lay off the moonshine.
Can we go now?
Of course, don't.
Cheese and crackers. What's going on?
I think they've been drinking.
Let's continue. We must be mistaken. I'm sorry.
We're not mistaken, but let's keep going. We're not going to solve this.
What are you blabbering about?
We thought we had a flat tire.
We're stopped. We
need to get going so we can set up camp. I mean,
it's definitely now it's here. Starting to get dark. It's you know the sun is going down beyond,
much further?
You're pretty close. You're probably within about 5 miles or so. You're just about to hit the bridge to go across the Miskatonic, and then you from what the directions you've been given, it's down a country road. It's probably about 3 or 4 miles.
Okay.
I take it Errol and Harriet didn't, or the professor, or Abigail, experience this when we first came here, the booming.
You did
this
not.
This is a new phenomenon.
Yeah, right. You did not experience this. This is brand new. So, okay. So you guys mount up, I assume, and drive into what we would say is going to be Blackwater Creek. Okay, now actually, if you want to look at the map on roll 20, you're coming in from the east. You do basically see that there is a little huddle of very. As you're coming in, you drive through a lot of farms.
And you see a little huddle of houses. You can see that they have, you know, like lamps out on the front porches. So there's some activity going up ahead. You can see the steeple of the church against like some dark woods. And that's about all you see right now. There's a very bright light down in the middle of town. So it looks like they probably have like two lamps on either side or something like that. And that's about it.
Well, let's get to the campground. Wherever we...
So you're trying to get to where the camp was? Okay.
Well, we need to make camp somewhere. I mean, we can't be sitting in the car.
Right. Okay. Now, you do remember that you stayed at the Jarvis before. You don't know if you remember where it's at. Or you could try to, get your own little campground out here.
All right.
So, and like I said, there's still kind of signs of life if you guys would like to talk to anybody.
Okay.
Well, I mean, we're following Dell's car, so I don't know where he's planning to.
I'm looking for a good spot. I mean, I'm sure I find it.
Okay. Right? Are you going into town?
Think
it's a good spot.
I think outside of town. For okay. Now. We can go closer, especially since hostiles have been implied in the letter.
Okay.
Could we direct him to the original campsite?
Why don't we look into that when there's daylight out?
Yeah, mm-hmm. That would be absolutely going through all of town.
Okay.
I'm not going through town. I'm stopping outside of town, preferably where they can't see us with our headlights and everything. And if that's not an option, just out of town.
Okay. Yeah,
I mean, there's the woods off to the west of town. We could easily just find some spot there. And
so we have to drive through the town to get to our campsite.
Though. Yeah, I mean, basically that's a field right over there. You couldn't really, if you're going to drive through it, it's going to be fairly obvious.
Here's a question. Why do we have to get camp there? Why can't we camp before that and go out in the daylight?
It's not absolutely fine. Right. So that's what
also, there's hostiles probably here, right?
Right.
Well, they'll be able to see our truck like sitting off in the distance.
Right. Well, that was my point, though. If we camp like a few miles from the town, they're probably not going to come and check us out.
Okay.
Well, we already drove up to the town, though. I think we saw the church and.
I will give you that.
Just turn around and go back. I mean,
right. So if you guys wanted to drive up just a little bit to see the lay of the land and then come back, that's fine with me.
Okay.
Turn around, go back a mile or two, and just camp out there. And then in the daytime, we'll arrive since hostiles.
Why don't you guys go and do a driving roll?
Okay.
Just to make sure you don't get stuck or something trying to turn it around.
No bed break.
All right. You actually go off the side a bit, and so you have to kind of rev up the engine a bit to get back out. So it's, and you know, you do turn around, and let's see. You kind of see some lights kind of look down the road of town, but aside from that. It looks like you're fine. You do kind of see some people walk out towards the road with some lights, but it looks like they've receded. Or you can't see them; they have not followed you. So
okay.
So at that point, go ahead. We can set up camp. And actually, it looks like we're at the 128. Do you guys want to? Would you like to do some final things before we head out, or should we cut it for this week and we'll get together in 2 weeks?
I'm going to be very eagerly setting up the tents and carrying the professor's luggage and things like that.
Okay. All right. So camp has been set.
Are we still hearing the booming noise, by the way, Ryan?
Absolutely.
Is that constant all the time now?
Yeah, this is coming the entire time, every 40 seconds. So now it's weird. I wouldn't say you're used to it, but you are adjusting a little bit.
I'll go and approach Aaron or ask him again. Do you not hear anything? No sounds? No? Nothing?
I don't know what you're talking about.
There's, I don't know what to tell you. There's no sounds. I mean, there's birds chirping, but I'm pretty sure that's not what you're talking about.
No
booming.
I must admit, I thought I'd be going crazy, but if it wasn't for White Raven hearing it, did the professor say anything about this to you beforehand?
No, I mean...
Maybe I'm going crazy. It was a long journey.
Maybe you should catch a good night's sleep, and it's probably going to be gone in the morning.
I think you're right, Errol. I'm very worried about the professor and his wife. But
well, it's stressful. I get it. Yeah.
I think we should probably take turns keeping a watch over our stuff.
That's a good idea. Yes.
I don't know if
that's a good idea.
And are you hiding your? I mean, have you gotten off the track somewhere, trying to hide in a cornfield or something? Or
yeah, I think something like that. We're still going to have guard duty and all that since hostiles have been mentioned, but we will definitely do that. And by the way, Dale is obviously suspicious that Harriet is the one who wrote those letters to Professor Rhodes, but he hasn't brought it up yet.
If they don't have dolphins on them, they're not from Harriet.
Okay. Okay, well, you guys, you do set up camp, let's say that you folks go to sleep.
Okay.
Now, actually, I don't know who's up, whoever's up. All of a sudden, you guys are just sleeping in tents. So, go ahead and someone make a listen roll.
Someone asking all of us,
whoever wants to be on watch or whatever, we'll just
there'll probably be like a couple people on.
Well, yeah, Errol is going to take a pass at the watch, but I mean it depends on when. So,
okay, yeah, I mean I'm not gonna, I don't want to do it too much. It's just like, okay, everybody make a listen roll, please.
I got an impale.
All right, excellent. Okay, so while you are up and watching, you start hearing about the same time. From the tents where Harriet and Konkat Wumpe are sleeping, you're starting to hear them, like, not struggle or not breathe very well. Now, what Konkat Wumpe and Harriet are experiencing, you're having a dream about your mother. And she's speaking to you and saying, "Come to me. Come to me," and she's coming closer, and you feel weirdly like just uncomfortable that she's getting so close, and she's like, "Come to me," and she takes her head and puts it in between her breasts, and you can't breathe. You're being smothered, and she's saying, "Come, I'm waiting for you. I'm waiting." And this whole time, Dell is, you know, you're starting to hear them kind of gurgle and, you know, making kind of shriek noises.
So, Dell hears that. Dell's not having that dream.
He's
hearing them gurgle.
Yeah, he's hearing them gurgle and, you know, trying to breathe, and you don't know what's going on.
He'll go and check things out.
Okay. Who'd you check first? I assume that they're in different tents.
Probably gender segregated tents, yes.
He'll check Harriet first, since
okay.
She wants her along for the sub.
Yeah. You open it up, and I assume you have your flashlight out. And she is just, her eyes are, you can tell she's in deep REM sleep. And she's you can see she's having a hard time breathing. And, you know, just muttering, "No, mother, no, no."
All right, does it look like she's having breathing problems or she's just having a nightmare?
You stay away from my nightdress.
She's breathing oddly. It does not look like she's dying, but it looks like she thinks she's dying.
Okay, so what does oddly mean to Del?
Okay.
Does it look like she is having physical issues breathing, or is she having a nightmare?
Go and do a medical roll.
Two different things.
Yeah, go and do a medical roll. First aid or whatever.
Del's not a doctor, so right. Del's not okay. A doctor. He's just a layperson. So he's looking. Does it look like she's having breathing problems as he's looking at her, or is she just like talking in her sleep, having a nightmare?
Go and do an intelligence roll. How about that?
Okay.
She could have swallowed a bug.
Made by intelligence, I believe. Let me just double check here. I think he's got that. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Not a problem. You can tell that she doesn't look like she's in physical distress, but she's having a hell of a nightmare, and she is, you know, distressed in her mind. Definitely having something very bad happen to her right now.
Dale's gonna go check the other tent of the Indian and see if he's having what's up with him. Is he having the exact same conditions? Because that would be really weird.
Because you've seen it, yes, it looks exactly the same, and he's actually muttering about his mother as well. Mother, no.
Is that a sand check for me, or?
Sure. Go ahead. We'll do this.
Since I volunteered. Good job.
You made it. Okay. So you have seen worse things than this. So you are freaked out. Okay.
I'll look around his tent real quick with a flashlight while he's having a nightmare. See if there's anything that stands out.
Go ahead and do a spot hidden.
Made it.
Okay, you're absolutely sure there's nothing going on around here. You're not hearing anything outside. You're just hearing them having this, syncopatic nightmare that you can tell.
I'm going to shake him awake.
Okay. There you go. Kankat Wambe, you are being this thing of your mother. You can't breathe, and you smell like this stale sweat, and you're almost getting ill. And all of a sudden, you're being shook awake, and you come out of it.
Yeah, snap out of it there.
Oh, hey. What the? Oh.
Step away, give him a little breathing room.
That was a little bit of a nightmare.
Oh. I'll tell you what's a nightmare. You and Harriet are having the same nightmare.
Yeah, and you can hear it's getting. She's getting louder as this goes on.
I'll lead Kong Kong Wapai to the other tent and indicate. You were saying the exact same thing she's saying right now. As we stand over Harriet, as she's like going,
wake her up. No one should deal with something this horrible. Wake that woman up.
You can't wake her up?
I'm shaking her.
Okay. And similarly, you are pulled out of this nightmare, Harriet, and you wake with a start and a minor scream as you wake up.
There's a minor scream from the nightmare, and then a really, really big scream for two men being in my tent.
Yeah.
There you go. Being a very...
You were having a nightmare, Harriet.
Please tell me you actually wearing pajamas.
We don't have time for this nonsense. You were about to kill yourself. You can thank us later.
Tell me about your nightmare, Harriet.
No, get out of my tent. What are you doing here? I'm fine.
I'll slap her in the face. Get a hold of yourself, woman.
A couple of three men in attendance.
We're here to help.
You can help me by getting out of my tent. I'll tell the professor.
Well, the professor's probably in the
professor's right there. Yeah, and everybody's hearing this now. I mean, if you're in the tent that they were in, which I assume Elise or the Dr. Hagerson was, she is now fully awake.
I mean, I would assume the professor and Harriet is sharing the
the women's tent. Yeah. So,
probably do not want to be in the tent when the professor wakes up. So.
No.
No. I do. I would, but yeah. Well, yeah, of course you would.
Can I do a charm roll on her to try to calm her down?
Sure. Why not?
Keep away from me.
Oh.
There's actually rules for
we
that.
We just need to talk. We just need to talk, Harriet. We need to talk about this dream you were having. I was having one as well.
I don't care what you had. You do in your tent at night.
81 out of 50. I failed.
Okay. Yeah. Unfortunately, you are unable to calm her.
I just wanted to talk to you about the nightmare. I was having one too.
Next time I'll let you suffocate in your nightmare and I walk out.
I'll speak to you in the morning, but you shouldn't be in a... Just get out of a tent. I'm fine. Just go.
Well, we were only trying to help. I leave.
I can't believe the professor's still snoring. Good grief.
No, she's up. So, you guys are a little freaked out. There's obviously something going on. I don't know if you want to discuss it anymore.
Can I hug Professor Hampson? Will she hug me?
You can try.
What kind of help do you want, Harold?
You better call Dell back. He's going to get pretty excited.
Damn it, he would give me a hug as well. He would come.
Dell already left the tent. Sorry.
Damn.
Clearly, field work is not for you. I mean, perhaps you should take the car back to Miskatonic.
I'm not sure. I'm so... It's stress. I worry so much about the professor and the...
Oh, you have nothing to worry about him. I don't even know what he sees in you.
He doesn't see anything in me. We're just student and professor.
That's exactly right.
Yes, that is exactly right. And I bid you good day, and I'll go back to bed. Someone's going to get spiked breakfast.
It's going
to
be...
Next time you want to rendezvous with your men, do it at another time, not when I'm sleeping.
Kong Kong Thwompa yells, "Go back to sleep."
Oh, shut up, you charlatan!
Okay, well, we will cut it there, unless people want to discuss. Yes, you are seeing much strangeness in Blackwater Creek, and you haven't even walked it across the border. Yeah,
I guess... And it wasn't like this before.
It was not like this before. This is entirely new to our folks returning. Yeah, why don't we cut it there? That's a kind of a dramatic pause, and we will pick it up in 2 weeks then, I guess. A special thanks to Paul Fricker, Scott Dorward, and Matthew Sanderson, creators of the Good Friends of Jackson Lies podcast, for their voice talents provided for the audio handouts within this recording. Be sure to check out their excellent Call of Cthulhu and horror genre podcasts. Visit the Good Friends at their website, www.blasphemoustomes.com. All music within this recording graciously composed and performed by Walkathon. In the next episode of Blackwater Creek, Blackwater Creek's mysterious sheriff and citizens are revealed. An unnatural oddity is observed. And a visit to the camp of Professor Rhodes points the investigators to hints of his fate. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time in Blackwater Creek.